We have a public hearing on the approval of annual congestion management, the program concerning local conformance findings, and we're going to start with that. Brad? Now I get to say my
piece first. Yes, Madam Chair, you get to start off.
This hearing will now come to order. It concerns the 2011 conformance determination of the 88 cities and the County of Los Angeles with the Los Angeles County Congestion Management Program. The Secretary's office will now provide comments concerning the publication of a public hearing notice for this item. Thank you. Executive Officer of Long Range Planning, Brad McAllister, will provide further comments concerning this agenda item.
The congestion management program is intended to address the impacts of local growth on the regional transportation system. Our goal is to comply with statutory requirements of the CMP. MTA, along with the 88 cities and the County of Los Angeles, have responsibilities that include monitoring level of service on the CMP highway network, monitoring the CMP transit and land network, implementing the TDM and land use analysis programs, and participating in the countywide deficiency plan. As the congestion management agency for Los Angeles County, MTA is required to monitor the CMP and make a local CMP conformance finding. A positive conformance finding ensures the continued flow of an estimated $85 million in gas tax revenue to the 88 cities in the County of Los Angeles. Our review has found all cities in the county to be in conformance with the CMP requirements. Therefore, we recommend your approval of the finding that all 88 cities in the County of Los Angeles are in conformance with our CMP. And this concludes staff presentation.
Thank you. Now we are open for public comment. If you are here to make a presentation regarding this item, please come forward, state your name and the record. Comments are limited to 1 minute. Seeing no one, I would request that a motion be made to close the public hearing and consider end it.
Second.
Okay. So ordered. Having been moved and seconded and no objections, this public hearing is now closed. Do any of the board members have any questions or comments concerning this agenda item? Seeing none, I would request a motion to approve planning and programming agenda item number 10. I already did that. 2011 management program local confirmation findings. And we had a motion and a second. No objections. So ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely made. Okay, the first item on the agenda that we're going to consider is item number 5.
Good afternoon, board members. I'm Diego Cardoso with the Planning Department and Dolores Ruibal, and we'll be making the presentation. Dolores, come here. Board members, this is a very important time for Metro, for the county. We are seeing now the document that we've been working on for many years with lots of community input, internal technical assessment, etc. And then it's the approval of the environmental impact report certification. Next slide. And then I would like to indicate that this is a project that provides a lot of benefits to the county, to the transit riders. We are selecting a fully underground alternative. It will carry 80,000 plus users. It will reduce travel time by 30%. And it'll improve headways on our light rail transit system. And it also provide the infrastructure to reduce fares because it will reduce transfers. It's one of the most cost-effective. In fact, last night, a report came out from the FTA. It is the most cost-effective light rail project in the nation. next slide, please. The regional connector creates two cross-regional lines, basically. The trains that are moving from the east side will go to the west side, and the light rail trains that are traveling from Pasadena and beyond will reach Long Beach and vice versa. The minute that we complete regional connector, it disappears, basically, so that you understand the magnitude of it. Because now the travelers from north, south, east, west will have the ability to go in those directions without getting off the train. The regional connector also improves the ridership and all the light rail lines. This is the reason why the federal report that came out last night indicated that the project has the highest right now operational ranking on all of the projects that are seeking a full funding grant agreement because of that. There are three new stations that are being created in downtown Los Angeles and areas where we will see increased economic development. And in one critical area, which is the Bunker Hill, which is an area that right now is not served in an adequate manner with transit. Next slide, please. The recommendations are the following. To authorize our chief executive officer to modify one of the contracts so that we can continue working on the next phase, which is to get a full funding grant agreement with the federal government. And the CDM is the firm that we have on board, and we'll exercise an option so that we can continue doing that work. And also to exercise another option to with the outreach team. We are fully committed, and we have been doing this all along, and working with the different communities that we are impacting. And in the environmental impact report, we have developed a program and the ability for Metro to continue working with the stakeholders to deal with the issues. This is a project that is not only creating a lot of opportunities for the county, but it's also a project that is going to be built in a very developed, very dense community. Therefore, we have to be very sensitive as to how we approach that issues, those issues. You're probably going to hear later on in this presentation from the public. Today, you're going to be not taking any actions on the budget, which is basically certifying the environmental impact report so that we can proceed with securing a record of decision from the federal government. If there are any questions, I have here Dolores Roy Ball, who is the project manager on the environmental document, and also David Yale, who is the person that has provided some critical assistance in making sure that we have a financial analysis that is sound and doable. I also have a team of engineering that will be able to answer any questions on engineering concerns. That is my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the directors at this time? There's something that I would like to say before we go into public hearing. And because I want to make sure I express this correctly, I've made notes. The Regional Connector Transit Project will have a lasting impact on the historic and culturally significant Little Tokyo community. Several members of the Metro Board, including Directors Kanabe, Huizar, Molina, Ridley Thomas, have sought to protect and empower the Little Tokyo community, particularly during the construction process. The historic and culturally sensitive area is unique, with many family-owned businesses that have called Little Tokyo home for generations. Creative solutions are needed to ensure that the Little Tokyo community's unique cultural significance and historic character are protected and enhanced throughout Metro's construction process. Metro must take proactive and preventive measures to minimize disruptions caused by construction activities and directly engage with community-based groups to ensure that Little Tokyo is accessible during construction. It is appropriate for Metro to form partnerships with community-based groups that have a substantive and clear role in shaping their community's destiny, and that local community resources are given the first opportunities to receive Metro's support in order to add their value directly instead of Metro reinventing the wheel or duplicating local efforts. And having said that, I'm going to open the public hearing. And we'll start with Craig Ishii, followed by Christopher Sutton.
Yes, sir. Great. Hi, my name is Craig Ishii. I am a board member with the Little Tokyo Community Council. Please excuse my wrist. Just listen to the... So we passed a motion. We appreciate all the board members who advocated on behalf of us, especially at today's meeting. Just wanted to reiterate the three issues that were in the motion that the community council felt were outstanding issues with the connector. The first is funding and subsidy for marketing support and merchant discounts. We look forward to working with Metro staff on figuring out how the community council as well as other consulting groups can kind of keep businesses alive during the construction process. The second piece is the business interruption program, which we know is also in the memo that was presented to us, basically providing financial compensation, speedy financial compensation for businesses when, construction disrupts their business function. And the last piece is visible, accessible, and prevalent parking with 8 seconds left. So thank you very much. We appreciate Metro staff and the board members who advocated. Thank you.
Thank you. And you had two slips, so I'm just, you don't get
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mistake. Thank you. Oh, can I?
You're done.
Can I submit this on the? Sorry, this is our motion. Thank you.
Christopher Sutton to be followed by Chris Avetisian.
Hi, my name is Christopher Sutton. I'm an attorney representing the Westin Bonaventure Hotel and Suites. I have a letter I will want to submit for the record. I have about additional 10 copies or so I can give. And I'll summarize the letter. There will be a joint letter by the stakeholders at Fifth and Flower as well. The summary of the points of the letter is that there are no tiebacks in the street on Flower, and all of the designs assume falsely there are tiebacks in the street. And you can do tunneling south of Flower and not do cut and cover because there are no tiebacks. There are no tiebacks south of 5th Street on the west side, east side next to the park and the California Club. Also, the EIR falsely assumes tiebacks there. The MTA staff and consultants have failed to contact the property owners to learn about the underground engineering before they designed the project, and they have made continual false statements regarding the existence of tiebacks. We urge you to eliminate the cut and cover south of Flower, south of 4th along Flower, and have and mandate there be tunneling south of Flower all the way to 6th because it's now technically feasible, and the statements made by your staff and consultants are false.
Thank you. Chris Avetisian to be followed by Ryan Letterman. Yes, sir?
Document for the record also.
Young lady will get it.
The Los Angeles Times owns the property located at 200 and 208 South Broadway and also 201 South Spring. The final EIS, EIR, for the Regional Connector Transit Project has a full taking of that property to construct the plaza entrance to the proposed 2nd Street Broadway station. The property currently provides parking to support the Times operations, and the Times has held that property in order to provide flexibility for future use of the development of the Times campus. Metro's taking of the property cuts the Times campus into unconnected pieces, and Metro fails to acknowledge the existence of impacts on the Times operations from this taking. So Times just wants to go on record that as we move forward, we hope that negotiations will include us being able to talk about this and the loss to the Times.
Great. Thank you. Ryan Lederman, to be followed by Catherine Novian, I think it is.
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Lederman from DLA Piper, representing Hines, the owner of the 49-story Citigroup Center Tower. And we submitted a letter last night, and I have extra copies here for you. And we support the regional connector, but we do not support the cut-and-cover construction. There are feasible measures that can reduce the significant impacts, and under CEQA, Metro is required to adopt or to change the project to have the tunnel boring machine and not the cut and cover. We do not feel that we should be left holding the bag for all these construction impacts that can easily be avoided. And we do request that mitigation similar to what's going on in Little Tokyo gets applied to the project south of 4th Street. We expect no less, and we expect that this is Los Angeles and it's a world-class community, and we expect world-class construction south of 4th Street. Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine, is it Novian, or is it, I don't know if it's a V or an R. It's an R. Norian, to be followed by Ann Nguyen.
Go ahead. Catherine Norian of Gilchrist and Rutter, representing Thomas Properties Group, and also speaking on behalf of a group of property owners, represented by DLA Piper for Hines at 444 Flower Street, Hill Ferrer and Burl for the California Club, and Christopher Sutton for the Western Bonaventure Hotel and Suites, all of whom are property owners in the financial district on South Flower between 4th and 6th. This area has the highest density, yet it will suffer the heaviest construction impacts and the greatest economic risk from the project. The EIS-EIR does not credibly explain why the financial district, which is the economic core of downtown revitalization, should be the only area whose impacts will not be mitigated by the use of the TBM. Our clients support the regional connector, but will suffer substantial unmitigated environmental and economic impacts, which will only increase the cost for which Metro would be liable. Metro can still avoid those impacts and CEQA litigation by incorporating TBM into the remaining blocks of the project, as it has virtually everywhere else. We have submitted a letter that further explains our clients' concerns.
Thank you.
Which I have here.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Nguyen, be followed by Yukio, is it Kawarazani? Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Ann Nguyen with the Central City Association. CCA represents 450 businesses that employ over 350,000 employees in the region. We are the voice of business in downtown and the primary architects of the Renaissance here right now. Therefore, it shouldn't come as a surprise that we are extremely invested in seeing this project through to its completion. However, the proposed cut and cover plan, along Flower Street is not a viable option, as will create significant negative impacts along that corridor. This is the heart of the financial district and one of the most dense commercial corridors in downtown. It will cripple economic activity. 16,500 employees are employed in those two blocks. 87 businesses will be impacted, including downtown's most successful restaurants, tourist activity, small businesses. We presented compelling arguments that 5th and Flower would be the most heavily used station on this alignment. Budget reasons, it was taken out. Special accommodations were made to other communities in downtown to minimize negative impact and business disruption. We feel it's Metro's duty to do everything they can to minimize our business disruption and impact as well. Thank you.
Yukio and Kawa. You say it for me.
Yukio Kawaratani. I have some maps, but I guess I'll give it to her afterwards. Yukio Kawaratani speaking for the Little Tokyo Community Council and businesses, organizations, and residents. A brightly colored Little Tokyo shuttle that is provided during the construction period will be an aid to all businesses in Little Tokyo. The proposed route is a simple loop heading west on First Street to Hill Street and going east on Second Street to Hewitt Street. Almost all Little Tokyo restaurants, shops, hotels, banks, cultural facilities, and apartments are on both sides of First and Second Street or within one block. The Little Tokyo shuttle would provide ready access to the parking lot, GO Line Station, Los Angeles Civic Center, Metro Subway Station, Historic Core, Artist District, and apartment complexes to the east. It would be a significant benefit to the Little Tokyo businesses, organizations, and residents. I thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next is Chris Kamai, to be followed by Mike Okamoto.
Good morning. I'm Chris Komai. I work for the Japanese American National Museum. Also, my family still runs the Rafu Shimpo, third generation. It's 109 years old. It's part of downtown. I wanted to come and speak in favor of the additions that have gone into the EIS in support of Little Tokyo. This weekend, our community is going to mark the 70th anniversary of the Executive Order 9066, which forced our families unfairly to leave Little Tokyo. We were told when we did this it was for the greater good. Well, when people say it's for the greater good, that usually means you're being left out. I am pleased to say that the process after the regional connector was introduced made us very, very frightened because people were calling it the greater good again. We were worried that we were going to be left out. The good thing that has happened is that the process has shown itself to be open to us to speaking. Changes have been made. I am very hopeful that my family's business, which is 109 years old, will continue well into the 21st century with the regional connector. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mike Okamoto, to be followed by, and I particularly like this gentleman because he phonetically spelled his name, Mike Tartinsky. So, Mr. Okamoto.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Mike Okamoto, O-K-A-M-O-T-O. I serve as the chair of the Little Tokyo Community Council, which has over 90-plus members organizations. We work to ensure that Little Tokyo will continue to be a viable center for Japanese-American community and the Los Angeles downtown community. We would like to thank the Metro staff for working closely with us in the last several years. We feel we came to where we are today with a mutual cooperation between Metro and our community. In the final EIS, many of our concerns have been addressed, but I have to say we still need to work further to ensure the implementation of those mitigations, namely the preemptive marketing, business interruption protection program, and the special shuttle services needs to be worked out with the community to ensure the accessibility to our businesses. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Tarchinsky, to be followed by Omar Hernandez.
Good afternoon. Since I put that down, could I get 2 minutes, please?
No, sorry, still only one.
Okay.
Nice
like
try, though.
I'd like to submit these drawings and a picture of the Weston Bonaventure Foundation, essentially showing that there are no tiebacks, just footings in the ground that will not impede any tunneling. The tunneling project will stop 1.2 million people from entering and exiting the Bonaventure on Flower Street that enter and exit every year. We have airline crews and group business. The other challenge that wasn't addressed in the EIS was the fact that the easements go onto our property. And we have 140,000 to 150,000 group rooms a year under contract that have a construction clause that say any construction, make that contract null and void. We need you to move the easements, please, and then also go to the tunneling process instead of cut and cover. And this letter is also going along with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Omar Hernandez, to be followed by Chris Ihara.
Good afternoon. My name is Omar Hernandez. I'm here on behalf of the SR60 Coalition that is made up of cities of Industry, El Monte, Montebello, Monterey Park, Rosemead, and South El Monte. We're here to submit a letter of support for the connector because it will significantly increase the ridership to the Eastside Gold Light Extension Phase 2 and serve the needs of the San Gabriel Valley. Thank you very much. I'd like to submit this.
Thank you, sir.
Oh.
No. Chris Ihara, to be followed by Benjamin Hanlon.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Ihara. I'm the chair of the Transit Committee of the Little Tokyo Community Council. I want to express our appreciation for your remarks, Madam Chairman, and also for the leadership of the Metro Board, who has responded so positively to the concerns of the community and understands that the importance of the cultural centers here in Los Angeles. We look forward to continuing to work with the Metro staff. We have a precedence of an MOU, which we have found very beneficial to us in the form of a community consultant. We'll continue to be very vigilant and come before you, and we look forward to working on this process of this very important project with you together.
Thank you. Benjamin Hanlon, to be followed by, I think we're done, Benjamin Hanlon.
Good afternoon. Benjamin Hanlon of Latham & Watkins on behalf of Japanese Village LLC, owner of Japanese Village Plaza in Little Tokyo. This meeting should be continued. Metro repeatedly told the public in writing at community meetings that the public had until February 20th to review the EIR. Any action this committee takes should be informed by that 30-day review period Metro promised to provide. We plan to submit detailed comments and request that you continue this meeting so that you can consider them. Japanese Village does support mass transit development, but there are three major issues with the EIR relative to Japanese Village Plaza that I'd like to tick through. First, it does not evaluate impacts on the future development of Japanese Plaza. The rail line passes only 15 feet below grade, which will severely limit any planned future development of the project site. Second, the final EIR does not evaluate noise and vibration impacts and rejects feasible mitigation measures for them. Third, the final EIR also defers analysis and mitigation of impacts to off-street parking during operation. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to make a comment before I ask my colleagues to do so. It seems to me that we have some issues here that if we pass this forward to the board without recommendation, staff can look at and perhaps come up with some recommendations. And having said that, I'm going to ask if there are any comments from the directors. Hearing none, if there are no objections, we will pass this on to the board without recommendation.
Yeah, I had one question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On a separate, related.
Go ahead.
This item, but
please.
Separate from the issue.
Can someone explain to me the increase by $757,000 in outreach? I gather this is the consultant we're using for outreach. How much have we paid to this consultant up until now?
I believe it's in your board item.
Okay, well, I didn't read it.
Okay, let's see here. My apologies here. To date, we've paid the Robert Group $2.4 million. That was from the inception of the alternative analysis study in 2007 through the completion of the final. The current extension of the outreach contract is to continue our outreach efforts prior to construction, get the communities ready for construction, as well as have the opportunity to establish a leadership council. This leadership council would have representation of the entire alignment, would allow us to break up into subcommittees so that we could focus on specific issues prior to construction.
We've spent how much?
2.4 approximately.
Over what period of time?
2007 to 2012.
So we're spending somewhere around $400,000 a year on the average on this outreach group, and now we're increasing it by 700.
Oh, my clarification, it's 2.4 with this modification.
Okay, so we're spending $300,000 a year, and we're increasing this by $700,000. And what's this modification? For how long does this modification go?
It would start from the record of decision until of receiving the full funding grant agreement, 17 months approximately.
And when is the record of decision scheduled to happen?
Typically, the board would approve the project, and then it would become approved project, and then they typically take 4 weeks after that to give us a record of decision. However, at Crenshaw, it took several months after that.
Okay. I'd like to suggest that on this one portion of this item, that we take that out of this, since the record of decision is at least a month away, probably longer, that we have a chance to review this. I am
shocked.
Not just on this one, but generally, I think we spend a lot of money on outreach, and I sure don't think we get the kind of return on it that we normally get. I'm not saying that about this one, because I don't know this one, this project that well, but in my part of town, I would say the same thing. And I think this is an awful lot of money, Art, and I'd like to have this reviewed. I'd like to know what they spent it on since 2007, maybe get a more detailed accounting, and then we'll decide what we'll do next. So I would just excise this one item, and otherwise I totally support the chair's recommendation.
If that's a motion, I'll second it. If it's a motion.
I'll make it.
Okay, the motion is to remove item E from the report, and just E2, is that correct? One is exercise modification, E2, okay, E2, thank you, from the report, and ask staff to get back with excellent explanation about it.
Will do.
Okay.
Clarification,
any objections?
Please. Could you please clarify for us just a little? I just want to note the incredible work that Ann Kerman and staff have produced in order for us to bring consensus to regional. And we still have a lot of work with, as you can hear from the community. Just clarify for us, because we have an ongoing, and it's going to get more intensive, supervisor, as we deal with the issues of how much we know and then the strategies that we're going to have to do in order to do the construction. So if we clarify these, we still need to engage the consultants to help us with it. And
have they spent all $2.4 million or minus the $757?
For clarification, it's $1.6
million. Yeah.
That is to get us through the completion of the final.
Okay.
So
there should be money left over. We're not at the completion of the final yet.
Well, we've completed the final. It was submitted January 20th. It was released to the public.
It takes us through March.
Well, to me,
it takes us through March.
So you have money between now and March. We're in February.
Okay.
They'll be fine for another month.
And that will give you time to get back and understand what it is we're looking for, and us understand exactly where it is that you need that additional amount. Is that correct?
I just want to. Well, I'm not going to.
No, that's okay.
You see, even those of us in government and who award a lot of consulting contracts, this type of contract, I'm not picking on this one. It happens to be the one that's on the agenda. And believe me, at Expo, I've had precisely the same kinds of questions. Outreach is hard to define. When you spend $2.4 million over 5 years plus another 17 months, 6.5 years, just do the math. It's a lot of money for somebody to be spent. And most of the outreach work, most of the work ultimately ends up being done by our staff. The outreach go out there and do their thing. Well, you're the ones that have to deal with the issues that have been raised here on widening the sidewalks, no widening the sidewalks, where the line's going to go, all of the issues that are raised, the EIR issue. I mean, I guarantee you they didn't talk to Latham and Watkins in the community outreach. Latham and Watkins found us. We do most of this, most of the heavy lifting. So it's just too much money. And my bet is that when we look at the individual billings and how and what work was actually done, I would just caution all of us not to defend this until we see the work product.
We'll trust
your judgment, and you say that they've done a lot of work. I want to see it for myself.
Same lines. I thought that, Diego, you made the comment that we've done all this work and achieved consensus. There's a whole bunch of high-paid attorneys that would beg to differ with you in the audience on the consensus part of this thing. Attorney. Unless there's a new definition for consensus. And by the way, as far as Latham and Watkins, they just know how to find this stuff. There's like, you know, I don't know if it's a sniffer or what they use, but, you know.
They do better community outreach than anybody, but they get paid a lot of money for it.
Except that's called looking for plaintiffs. That's what it's called. Yeah. But, you know, and I understand how, I mean, it's difficult because, I mean, you've got community outreach with people who are generally concerned about what happens and the impact. Like, you know, we worked a lot, you know, I know at the very beginning of this with the, you know, the Japanese Museum and others because of the sensitivity and the issues there. You know, and then you have professional ambulance chasers, basically, who go out there and look for controversy or help create it, and then sometimes actually have legitimate issues that they raise. And I'm not characterizing all the suits that have been up here as one thing or the other at this point, but I'm trying to figure out, again, like Zev and like everyone else, you know, what the money's been doing for this period of time, considering, you know, if it just served to notify law firms that there's a potential client out there, if they go looking for it, maybe we need to rethink community outreach, or at least around 30, 40, 50-story buildings, maybe. But I'd be curious to see where this money was spent also.
We'll be happy to come back and provide you a very comprehensive report.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would ask you to work with our staffs, you know, after the in the next several weeks, so that it doesn't wait to the last minute. So, thank you.
But this has got to be excluded.
This item is going to be postponed. Yeah. This one public relations outreach portion will be continued for a month.
Right. Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes, sir.
Just to be fully disclosing, I met with MTA staff, and I and others met with a number of folks from the Flower Street business community an hour ago, and we discussed some of the concern that they have. We have agreed to communicate some more tomorrow and, if possible, meet next week. I don't know whether we'll be successful in resolving their concerns. But our goal would be to lay out the options, the construction methodology options, that is cut and cover or tunneling, and talk with them about it. So we'll see what the outcome of that discussion is, but we will commence that.
Thank you very much. Let's go to item 52.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it'll make the LRTP easier if we do this first. Okay.
You got deferred, got delayed.
Good afternoon. Oh. I'm David Meager. I'm the Director of Planning for the West Side Subway Extension. We have a receive and file item. David Yale is with me. Thank you for taking this out of order. This relates to item number 6 on the long-range plan financial forecast. Could we have the graph slide up? Thank you. In the long-range transportation plan that was approved by the board, the West Side Subway is divided into 3 segments. And when this was initially adopted back in 2008, 2009, the lines went from Wilshire Westwood to Fairfax, Fairfax to Century City, and Century City to Westwood. In our forthcoming FEIS, final EIS, that will be coming back to the board in the next couple of months, we will have a recommendation to change the initial segment from Fairfax to La Cienega. That's about a 3/4 mile additional length and one more station. It essentially shifts that from segment two to segment one. And we are bringing this information to the board today, that of this forthcoming recommendation, so that you can consider that as you look at the financial forecasts, because this does not commit the board to making this change, but we do want to advise the board of it so that the financial analysis can be presented and considered, so that this would be able to be done at the time that the EIS is approved. The basic reason, we're going to summarize the reasons why we want to recommend this. Wilshire Fairfax Station is right near the La Brea Tar Pit, sits in the center of the Miracle Mile area. We have paleontological deposits there. We have methane gas, hydrogen sulfide. During the PE work that was done over the last year, we would we've had the recommendation brought back to us that it would be better not to have the end station at there, the interim terminus. Interim terminus stations have to be larger than normal stations. They have crossover tracks, which make them about 20% larger. It also requires more land acquisition at an interim terminus station, which is very difficult in the area around the County Art Museum and the La Brea Tar Pits and the Page Museum and the cultural issues there. If we can move that interim terminus station from Fairfax to La Cienega, we move it out of this area of higher gas and higher paleontological resources and allows us to do that construction of the interim terminus station a little bit farther west. I want to summarize just what the effect of this would be. The initial length of the first construction segment would increase from 3.1 to 3.9 miles. It would reduce the length of the second segment from about 3.5 miles to 2.5 miles, 2.6, and it would move the La Cienega station from Phase 2 to Phase 1. It would also have the benefit of eliminating a crossover at Fairfax. If we build Fairfax as the end of the line, we have to have a crossover track at the interim terminus where the trains can cross over and turn around and come back. We don't need that for the full 9-mile project. If we can build to La Cienega, we can put that interim terminus at La Cienega and not build one at Fairfax. That's all we need for the full 9-mile project if we eliminate one of these crossover tracks from the overall project cost. What this does do, it does not increase the overall cost of the project to the 9-mile project, but it does shift $381 million in cost from Phase 2 to Phase 1 of the project. So no increase in the total cost, but an increase in Phase 1 and a decrease in Phase 2. I want to reiterate, the reasons why this recommendation will be being brought forward. Number one, it reduces the number of crossovers on the full project from 6 until five, which is a cost savings and a reduction in impacts. It reduces the amount of construction we have to do in the gassy ground areas near the Fairfax station, and it disturbs fewer paleontological resources, the bones and fossils that we need to remove at that station because we have less construction in that area. Reduces real estate acquisition needs that we would need if we were to have a terminus station there at Fairfax. And also another important thing is in the gassy ground areas, we have a more elaborate tunnel mining system that we use for that first segment. And if we are able to move it to La Cienega, then that more elaborate tunnel mining system only has to occur in the first segment and not in segments 2 or 3. If we stop at Fairfax, we still have gas west of Fairfax, so we would have to use that more elaborate tunnel mining system in Phases 1 and Phase 2, which would be an unnecessary expense and unnecessary cost for the entire Phase 2. So those are the primary recommendations for that. Dennis Morey has joined us if there's more specific engineering or technical questions for this, and Dave Yale could discuss the issue of shifting funds from Phase 2 to Phase 1.
Okay. Are you going to discuss, or are you going to wait until we ask questions?
If you'd like to ask questions, I would be...
Okay, that'll be great. Are there any questions from... Director Katz said he had a comment.
No, I understand why it makes sense to do this, and I just want to support the effort to do it. We're not increasing the life of the project, the cost of the project. We're shifting existing committed dollars from Phase 2 to Phase 1, as I understand it. Okay. And I guess the option, if we were to stay at Fairfax, would be something like using maybe the we have to take out MOCA to use a staging area for our tunnel boring machine. Or something like that. Because I guess that's a big part of the problem. You just need several, these are big machines, and you need several acres worth of space in order to take them out, put them in.
You need about 3 acres if it's the end of the, if an interim terminus station. And we don't have that much land at Fairfax unless we were to go into some of the historic or cultural or more densely developed properties there. So it's, we don't have a lot of land to use at the Fairfax area.
We could start in Westwood and go backwards.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
When did you become aware that this was a problem at Fairfax?
During the past year when we were doing the PE, it became more and more apparent the more work we did on this. We were planning to bring this back with the EIS for action by the board, which was originally scheduled to come back in January or February. We've been delayed, so now we're out of sequence with the long-range plan financial update. So that's why we're bringing this as an advance information item to the board prior to the financial plan. But normally we would bring this back as an action for the board with the EIS when you come back to approve that.
Does the need for 3 acres of land at the interim terminus, is that a typical acreage, or is that necessitated because of the of the geology of the area?
No, it's typical. It's typical. But so, but it is a more sensitive area to work in because of the paleontology and the oil and tar sands. So we need that much land, but the construction there would be much more difficult because of the type of conditions that are there. So we'd prefer to minimize our footprint at that location and have that work done at another station that isn't quite so difficult.
I understand all that. I'm just trying to figure out why it took until last year. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. Why this didn't come to anybody's – why nobody fingered this idea or this problem at Fairfax, you know, 2 years ago or early last year. I just –
I think I could ask the others to chime in, but a lot of our issue on the west side has been how do we build the full 9-mile project. And when we're building the entire 9-mile project in a single phase – this really wasn't a significant concern because we were building all three segments simultaneously. Over the last 2 to 3, 4 months, it's become more and more apparent that the long-range plan initial phase is likely to be the one that the board will approve, and therefore we will have to have an interim terminus that will operate for 2, 3, 4, 5 years until we can build segment two, and therefore that became I wouldn't say it wasn't there. We knew about it, but it wasn't as big of an issue as we were doing our briefing. So we didn't hide the information, but it really a lot of our focus has been in other parts of the corridor.
I wasn't accusing you of hiding it. I was just trying to figure out why it didn't come to anybody's attention.
It was there in our discussions, but it really didn't.
You've explained it. Last question I have. At La Cienega, where are you going to find 3 acres of land?
Maybe Dennis wants to chime in on that. We're actually going to do a larger footprint at La Brea, which is further east. The tunnel boring machines will be put into the ground at La Brea, and we'll tunnel in both directions, east and west from La Brea. So they'll tunnel through to La Cienega, so we'll have a larger footprint at La Brea where we already own property, and then we won't have to have the full 3 acres at La Cienega because of the tunnel methodology. But that wouldn't apply to the same degree at Fairfax.
Why not?
Do you want to explain that?
Sure. Supervisor, the diagram that we have on the screen describes our tunneling approach. And typically, in these three segments, you would tunnel in one direction with two tunnel boring machines. So we would have three tunneling sites. If you look at segment one, we have it described as being segment 1A and segment 1B, where you take the tunnel boring machines from La Brea, you tunnel to the existing station at Wilshire Western, then you extract them, you physically remove them, reassemble them at La Brea and tunnel the other direction. We normally don't do something like that. So what David is saying is that the advantage here is that the La Brea site is already an MTA-owned property. So that would give us the overall schedule advantage because it's 3.9 miles.
Well, the MTA site at La Brea is not 3 acres, is it?
That's correct.
The northwest corner.
In our planning process, we have also identified additional properties that we could assemble to create the 3 acres that we need. So
where is that going to be? On the north side?
Northwest and southwest corners.
Right.
The what?
Northwest and southwest corners at La Brea.
You haven't acquired the southwest corner yet?
Not yet, no.
No, so that's identified in the environmental document as being a potential construction laydown staging area. And as we do the assessment to look at the most suitable tunneling sites, we look at these properties. That happens to be a property with a low-rise building. It's not historic. The other properties that have high-rise buildings, there's another property that has a development that is occurring right at this point in time. So what we try to do is we try to look at the optimum site that considers, you know, what the future plans are for other sites and what the current use is.
Okay, what's the answer to my question about why you can't do this? David said that because you're doing this at La Brea, you shrink the amount of acreage you actually need at La Cienega. Why wouldn't you shrink the amount of acreage you actually need at Fairfax if you did the same thing?
Well, because at Fairfax, what we're doing here is that the Fairfax site, as David described, has more technical issues that would complicate the construction. And as David stated earlier,
it's in the high risk methane zone.
Yes, sir. And then as it is that we are currently, we have a MOU with the Page Museum so that they can help us to monitor the excavation of the fossils. So we are seeking their help to identify staging areas for this very difficult recovery of fossils. So as it is, to have tunneling activities occur there on limited land and try to identify other areas for the paleontological recovery, it's very, very difficult to assemble 3 acres, and these would not be contiguous parcels. So in looking at the constructability, one of the questions that was asked is, why didn't we come up with this before? Well, we've been doing preliminary engineering for a little bit more than a year now, and during preliminary engineering, we do constructability reviews. In addition to that, David mentioned the crossover locations. We work very closely with Metro Rail operations to determine where the optimal locations are for the crossover. So if you overlay the constructability and operational needs, we've identified that this is the best alignment and this is the best location for the crossover.
So are the 3 acres on the surface, or does that include the subterranean, the subsurface?
Well, in the case of La Brea, which we own, we are building the station itself, and these tunneling activities occur within the street from curb to curb. The staging areas are properties that we acquire in fee, and so we would have all the land rights. So what we would do is we would acquire the parcel that is on the southwest corner of the Wilshire-La Brea intersection. And
how many acres? How many acres is that parcel?
I have a map that I can refer to right here.
So my question was whether the acreage that you need, is that at the surface?
Yes.
Yes, sir, because what we'd have to do is purchase the right. property and demolish the building.
All right,
and
then you answered my question, yes. So I come back to the question of La Cienega. Where are you going to find 3 acres at La Cienega and Wilshire?
Well, the fortunate thing about that site is that is a tunnel extraction site, meaning that the soil that comes out doesn't come out at that location. That was the purpose of identifying the Wilshire-La Brea site and tunneling in 2 directions. So the Wilshire-La Cienega site in the diagram, what that becomes is that the tunnel boring machines reverse direction and they go to the west. They are extracted there. So therefore, we've minimized the need to acquire additional property because we're doing like double duty at the Wilshire-La Brea site. So that is actually a much better cost-effective solution because we don't have to acquire as much property, and also we're able to do a lot of concurrent construction activities.
How much do you have to acquire at La Cienega?
It's the northeast corner that includes the one-story bank building and a restaurant.
We're roughly about an acre. There are 2 parcels, and they're not contiguous, but we believe that we can probably accomplish in about an acre. And that would include one of the properties that ultimately becomes a station entrance.
But that technique wouldn't work for us at Fairfax because of the additional needs we have there for the fossil extraction and for the treatment of the hazardous contaminated soils, whereas at La Cienega we could make a smaller footprint work as long as we tunnel from La Brea and take the dirt out at La Brea and not at La Cienega.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
How did you get that?
So receive and file. No objections. We'll receive and file a report. Let's move on to item number 6.
Get the PowerPoint up.
So this piece of property.
Good afternoon. Just one moment while I pull up the slides here. Before I start, I'd like to first of all say good afternoon, of course, and find out just how much time and the level of detail you're interested in going. I can give you sort of the highlights, or we can go really into the depth of this. What's your preference?
Why don't we start with the highlights, and then we can dig in
okay.
as we see fit.
Okay. This is the update to the long-range transportation plan financial forecast. The last time we have done this was in April of 2010. So the presentation is focused on the difference between April 2010 and November 2011. I'm going to try and bring you up to speed on all the changes that have gone on during that period of time. And the other main point I want to make here is this is the 3030 long-range plan. There is a whole another set of information related to strategies to implement 3010.
Okay, let me stop you just a minute because I have a note here, and we may make this even shorter than we thought. I understand there are other directors that want to go into deeper discussion on this. So we may want to just move it on to the full board. And if that is the case, my question to you, directors, is do you want to go through with this report now, or do you want to wait until full board? Or do you have any comment? What's...
If I could, Madam Chair, I don't think we should have the whole full discussion because we're going to do it again next
week. Exactly.
But the only thing I was going to say is, and I appreciate you're moving along, maybe just a quick overview in case somebody comes up with a question that needs to be addressed between now and next week, like on the other item. That's but I agree with you about going through all the witnesses and all the testimony.
That's fine. And so go ahead like we started.
Okay. We'll do that. The first few slides here are all about the worldwide economic recession that hit during Measure R and during the long-range plan process and how we've addressed those impacts on our revenue forecasts. This is an important slide, I think, to talk about. The first 8 years or so of our forecasts are shown. The green line there is the Measure R forecast that we used when we went to the voters. By the time we adopted the long-range plan, we knew we had a lower forecast. We didn't know how low it would go, and that's the blue one that was used in October of 2009. And then finally, the current forecast, which at least in FY 10 and 11 appears to be on course. That's the orange line there. All of our data going forward through 2039 is now based on a decreased sale tax forecast of 10%. And as you can see from this slide, that's about $500 million over all four of our sales taxes, Prop A, Prop C, Measure R, and TDA. The long-range transportation plan policy actions that we've taken, you understand these. Later in the presentation, I'm going to talk more about this.
Okay.
We approved priorities both in March of 2010 and again in early 2011. These priorities, if you recall, were divided by categories and then integrated and laid out in a specific list of all projects over $7 million. The list had a very large lump of projects that were projects that had not yet been completed and were not ready for construction, but would be constructed in the first decade. That category required more detailed analysis. We've deferred projects on that category and then worked later to try and come back and find funding in limited ways for these signal sinks projects as an example. Then, of course, you will recall this list of projects that became an issue. These are the projects I describe as being on the bubble right now in our priorities. The update takes us up to November 2011. It's, of course, got a lot of moving parts, and I'm going to try and summarize the most important here. There are a whole bunch of others that we won't be going into today. The board-approved cost increases are shown here, $287 million. These were not offset by other cost decreases. Sales taxes have come down in this forecast, not by a lot. That $480 million there is over a $20 billion amount of sales taxes, and not all of it is Metro-controlled local returns in there. And we've mitigated that by additional borrowing. I want to talk about that additional borrowing and what it means for our policies. And then our controlled revenues are down. We also, as we've just gone through with the regional connector and subway, have some cost changes there that you are now fully briefed on.
Madam Chair.
These are details of that slide showing the cost increases.
David, if I could, and I know that I know how much work you and your staff have put into this and greatly appreciate the detail and all the work and all the runs to come up with the numbers and different scenarios. Let me ask you, I would assume that none of our financial projecting includes or takes into account what the impact would be if we're putting $1 billion or $2 billion a year into construction in L.A. County. This is based on what you know, the trends you see, and the patterns you've seen in the past. Just like it, there's no way to anticipate, you know, whether we will save money or not when we actually go out to bid on stuff. I mean, this is a conversation you and I have had numerous times.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get a different answer out of you, and I can't. But but in terms of, you know, economic impact that could be stimulated by all this construction that we're trying to do, uh-huh. That's not accounted for in here.
No, it's not. Okay. The Los Angeles County economy is as large as we're population wise. We're as large as the state of Michigan.
Yeah, no. I was happy.
We're
with
somewhere
no.
around number 11 in the world. So the whether or not our own construction program would impact that economy is a question that would take quite a bit of modeling to figure out. We're relying on UCLA's opinions about Los Angeles County going
right.
forward.
But again, that they don't anticipate when they do that. Any economic development plans that may be in the pipeline, because they have no way to know, A, will they be completed, or B, will it generate what it says, et cetera, so.
Very true, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
The next few slides go into the detail of the summary slide to just itemize out each item. The revenue sources that led to the summary slide numbers are shown here. And the borrowing strategy that we're using now versus in April has changed. You can see here the TIFIA borrowing is much more prominent. We have $1.1 billion in TIFIA loans. These are loans directly from the Federal Treasury as opposed to our own senior borrowing. If these TIFIA loans turn out to be a bad deal or are otherwise impossible, we can always fall back to our own senior borrowing. The discussion about the subway and how we're covering that $381 million to get to La Cienega is summarized here. Almost all the costs are overlapping with phase two. There is an $88 million gap that we would propose in April to defer the Wilshire BRT project for a period of time to cover that cash flow issue there. Our New Starts request is already in the La Cienega terminus is built into that request already. Regional connectors, same thing. The New Starts request is already in. The cost of 1366 is already built into that request, and we are seeking now $149 million from other sources on the regional connector. There's a full analysis of that in the regional connector board report. The Measure R contingency policy is one of your recommendations, so I want to spend just a few minutes on this. The long-range plan, the response to the worldwide economic recession led us to develop the Measure R contingency policy. Debt service on our bonds in Measure R are paid from this fund, so the concern is that those projects that are in the second and third decade will not get their full complement of Measure R if we borrow too much. The policy was to limit the amount of borrowing to the same borrowing interest costs that we had in April of 2011. We want to adjust the policy a little bit here to respond to some of the revenue issues we've got. And I think this slide will help explain that. In April 2011, we had $1.846 billion in interest costs through 2039 from Measure R. That was highway and transit combined from those two pots. We did not account in April 2010 for the interest earnings. When we do a borrowing or have a balance in our account, we earn interest. This would credit those interest earnings to the contingency pot in the amounts shown on this slide, $415 million and $91 million over the life of the plan, and not count those as part of the cap that was established by the Measure R contingency policy. And then the Measure R BABs, which are anticipated to cost in interest $474 million over the life of our plan. These are the Build America bonds and the small amount of regular bonds that went with them, would cost $474 million. We're proposing that those be grandfathered in, exempt from the cap. If we do those two steps, the interest earnings and the BAB exemption, we come in under the cap here on the bottom line. So we meet the test in this November model run. If we don't take those out, we're going to be over the test just on transit, let alone highways. So we're asking to adjust the policy to allow for these things. That will help us all get our projects on schedule. It does not interfere with the projects in the second or third decade in a material way. The advanced funding policy portion of this is somewhat more complicated. That's the second recommendation B. Here in the FY 2011 budget, we established a policy that any funding advanced in it ahead of the Measure R expenditure plan date. There's a funds available beginning column in the expenditure plan. For example, on the subway, it's FY 2013. Any funds advanced ahead of that Measure R schedule would have to be repaid to the account that advanced the funds. This assumption has a direct conflict with the long-range plan assumption, which was that some of the funds we have in, from state repayment of capital project loans would be available for subway and regional connector uses before their funds available beginning date and would not have to be repaid. So the recommendations we're making here today would try and reconcile the two policy directions of the board in the long-range plan and in the budget.
When we were talking about being able to accelerate like 3010, part of the reason for doing that, if I remember right, was it takes the $18 billion capital program and actually makes it a $15 billion program because we save three
right.
in the avoided cost of money.
That's right. It does accelerate the need for that $15 billion.
Right, as we know.
Right.
Right.
Okay, the table here shows the projects that are subject to the budget policy and the amount to be repaid using this current forecast. This will change over time. There's lots of moving parts. But for now, this is how these projects would have to repay $184 million from their Measure R funds. Almost all of that is on the subway and regional connector from the state repayment of capital project loan funds. We would, in implementing the policy as amended, would suggest that the years that the projects repay the funds be shown as follows, and that when, in particular, these two funds are repaid, we be permitted to use them on the second leg of the subway, which will, in FY 21, be beyond its Measure R beginning date, so it would no longer be in advance. This is a little bit of inside baseball here. I'm sorry you have to go through all this. The amended staff recommendation, which was transmitted last night, would stipulate that this is just a plan and that we have to come back with a specific action to actually use these funds on the second leg of the subway, for example, when we got to that point. We think that threads the needle here between the long-range plan strategy and the policy adopted by the board in FY11 as part of the budget. There are some other issues to go through. I think, stuff we can skip over, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have at this juncture.
I do appreciate just going over the overview and answering some. That's, you know, it's always hard when you're looking long range and trying to figure out and be conservative because we know there are cost overruns or things change, and at the same time be ambitious. You know, it's a fine line to walk, and I appreciate the work David and his staff have done to try and help us get there.
Well, and I would
I want to echo what Director Katz said, not only in this item, but the ones that come before.
Thank you.
You seem very well prepared to answer questions that we have, which means somebody's done their homework, and I really appreciate that. So, any other comments? Then we will move this on to the full board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got to move it with a recommendation to approve, or?
Just move it on.
Okay.
Yes, I have a note here that other directors wish to discuss it, so I want to give them the chance to do that.
Okay.
Item number 7.
Item number 7 is an item to authorize the CEO and to enter into a funding agreement with the California Department of Transportation, Caltrans, in an amount not to exceed $2 million for project delivery support services on the I-710 South Corridor Project EIR-EIS. I have with me Ernesto Chavez and Lucy Almos, two of our great young stars in highway program, should there be any questions. Basically, on this project, we're using a mixed bag to deliver it. We have consultants on board. We've used Caltrans to do pieces of the work. We're trying to find who's best, fastest, and cheapest as we continue on the work. In this case, we have an item of work. Caltrans has been doing design near the I-5 interchange in 710. We find it to be cheaper and faster to have them do this piece of work, and we'd like to authorize the CEO to enter into an agreement to do so.
Second?
Second.
No objections? So ordered. Thank you. Next, item number 8, America Fast Forward.
Huh?
Good afternoon. With this item, we're asking the board to authorize the CEO to execute a third modification to a contract we have with Cater Advisors, and who are providing us now with federal financial advisory and analytical services for our America Fast Forward program. The modification would allow for an additional 12 months and an amount not to exceed $149,172, which would increase the total contract value to $437,773. If you have any questions, I'm here to try to answer them.
I'll move the item.
Moved and seconded. Any objections? So ordered.
Thank you.
Item number 9, Transit-Oriented Development Grant Program, Round 2.
Good afternoon. I'm Jenna Hornstock with Countywide Planning. At the October 27th board meeting, we were directed to release the second round of the TOD planning grant. We completed outreach to eligible cities, COGS, and JPAs, and we are bringing forward the round 2 guidelines for your approval.
Okay. Any questions? Moved, seconded. Any objections? Let's move on to item number 11. Thank you very much.
Okay, so Brad, you see how that was done just now?
Just like that?
Just like that. That was well done. No,
it's a real challenge, Director Katz. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Brad.
Item 11 was a motion that was brought to the board last month, which would allow the Measure R Highway subfunds to be used as a local match for the call. You'd asked for clarification on some of the issues regarding this, and we have attached a board box to provide you some information. And just in summary, the Measure R Highway subfund is a separate category from the local return Measure R funding. It was specifically identified in Measure R and goes to several COGs, including Arroyo Verdugo, Las Virgenes Malibu, South Bay, and Gateway for some specific projects, such as the 605 hotspots and grade separations. And so just as in your attachment, we've identified the eligibility criteria, so basic road type improvements, such as interchanges, ramp modifications, intersection and street widenings, We've also, three of the COGs have brought their Measure R highway subfund list to the board, and they've been approved. And so you have the list of those three COGs, Arroyo Verdugo, Las Virgenes Malibu, and South Bay. And you can kind of see that they're arterial-related projects. And the Gateway COG is still considering the projects that they'll be bringing forward. So they're in that process. And as far as the policy goes, it is within the board's discretion to allow the measure, the subfunds to be used for local match. There aren't really any impediments to that. This is kind of a new issue, being that Measure R is new, and so there hasn't been any prior board direction on this issue. So really, as long as a project is both eligible for the Measure R highway subfund and eligible to compete in the call, the board could choose to adopt this policy. And of course, in order for this to work, a project would have to successfully compete through the competitive process of the call. So that's my summary, and be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, comments?
I'll move it.
Moved, seconded. Any objections? So ordered. Thank you. Item number 13, regional rail update. Need to talk fast because we're going to get kicked out of here by the next committee.
Very fast. Actually, I'll even forego most of the PowerPoint presentation if that is to your pleasure.
That's great.
Okay. Real quickly, I'm just going to pick up a couple of highlights that we're working on regional rail. The LOSAN board, the LOSAN governance issue, as you know, we're moving forward with local governance of the Amtrak Pacific Surfliner service. A spot bill will be introduced for legislation later this month. We're working on authors for that, and the overall documents are in progress, including we're reviewing a draft business plan on that item right now. The advanced investment MOU that the board approved last month with California High Speed Rail is moving forward very quickly. It's still a dynamic process. We're still herding the cats on this one, but it's looking good on this, and we'll have more to come in the coming months. The Antelope Valley Line study is in draft report format. We are looking at it right now. We will be providing a series of myriad of comments on this report as it comes forward. I tend to go back to my professor days. And we'll be reporting that as a separate board item next month to this committee, with some recommendations concerning some specific concerns that have popped up during the process of this study and also working on this MOU. And that being said, I've caught the high points. If there's
Thank
any
you.
Questions.
There are no questions. And if there are objections, we'll receive and file. Thank you very much for being so efficient today. Item number 51.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 51 is the third and the final of the utility relocation studies to be conducted as part of the I-710 South Corridor. The recommendation is to authorize the CEO to execute a contract and modification authority with Mark Thomas and Company for much more detailed utility studies as a part of the central segment of I-710 Corridor, more so than we normally do in an environmental document phase. This is our most complex segment. It's where all the big Edison lines, this is what creates the opportunity for that project to become real. And much like the other two that we've already approved, it's proven to be very significant to get in advance and do quite a bit of utility work while the environmental document is still ongoing.
Any questions?
Second.
Moved and seconded. No objections. So ordered. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we don't have any more public comment, do we? Just general public comment? I believe that concludes our meeting. Thank you very much for your assistance and patience. Thank you.